Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of You Ruin Everything, a podcast where we watch and review every episode of the CW show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I'm your host, Angie, and I have seen every episode of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
And I'm co-host Mike, and I have seen just one.
And before we get into the episodes, we kind of want to talk about, like, what you can expect from this show.
What are we, Angie?
Well, first of all, we are spoiler-free because you have only seen one episode.
It would be no fun if I were spoiled.
It would be no fun if we spoiled Mike. And so if you're watching for the first time, or if you have a friend you will think would really enjoy the show, you can share this podcast with them and they can watch along with us. I obviously am already a huge fan of the show, so if you're already a fan of the show, you welcome. You've already got a huge nerd girl here with you guys. Yeah, and we're also going to talk about some of the feminist themes, some diversity stuff in the show, all the social justice issues.
You didn't talk about that part.
Yeah, we're doing it. We're doing it. Surprise, white man!
Sorry, everyone.
Surprise, white man. Yeah, we're talking about feminism and shit. Also, we can totally fucking swear if you want.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if we had a rating.
Yeah. Now that that's done, let's get into the first episode. Josh Just Happens to Live Here, written by Rachel Bloom and Eileen Brash McKenna, directed by Mark Burns. And we open up at summer camp.
Camp Canyon Grove, 2005. I gotta say, she looks kind of like a hippie here.
So, did you notice that she is, when she's after the brief scene of the performance, she's talking with Josh and she's talking about her solo. Did you notice that her solo is just, she's in love and that's it? And she just felt a real connection.
Being in love
with the audience during that solo.
Audience, Josh?
No, the whole audience. She's talking about.
I thought she was like hinting at him, like, I'm really mean you, but I'm talking about the audience here. But really you.
Interesting.
That's what I read that as. Was he in the audience?
I think he was in the audience.
Yeah, she was trying to make hints to him.
She did also talk about how the summer has been a whirlwind with a heavy H. She pronounced the H in whirlwind. Session B has been a whirlwind. I can't even do it. That was terrible. And I noticed that Rachel Bloom plays a really convincing 16-year-old.
And she's the Rebecca.
Yeah. That's Rebecca. Yeah.
I thought so too.
Yeah. Oh, another thing that I noticed, and I just want to point out that when Josh breaks up with her and says that she's really dramatic and weird, Rebecca says, I love you, and he says, and thanks for that. And thanks for that. I mean it. So that was... Oh, and,
There's no great way to respond in the situation. You could tell right from their first interaction he was, like, not into it. So what does he do at this point? I mean, he's, like, waiting for his turn to talk so he can break up with her, and then she's just going on. So I'm wondering about this show. Does the mom become a character? Is she just always this, like, driving, like, motivator for her? And obviously you can't answer because that would be a spoiler, but that's my thought on this. Because, no, she wasn't allowed to go to fun camps except for this one time because she was going to get suicidal, so she... Was it her dad that finally let her go or something?
Yeah. Did you... Also, when Rebecca gets into the car and her mom notices the hickey on her neck, her mom says, if you are pregnant, we are going straight to the abortionist. Which, I mean, I'm pro-choice, but...
That's not really a choice.
The key word in pro-choice is choice. So that's not... Not the healthiest reaction. Just want to put that out there. Was there anything else you noticed about the summer camp scene that you want to talk about?
Nope.
All right.
Next scene. We're in an apartment in New York City. Was it 10 years later?
It was 10 years later, yes.
I know she has glasses of wine in the background, a lot of medication on her laptop. There's websites, some of them for sex and death and sleep deprivation.
I wrote down the exact headline of the sex and death one. It was 100 people who have died during sex.
But, you know, I have a feeling this will get a little bit, like, a little bit dark humor here, which was fun.
And, yeah. Oh, and she sees,
the commercial for the first time.
Yes. The world's weirdest butter commercial. When was the last time you were truly happy?
Oh, you forgot the first part of that. Spread it. Indulge.
Goodness. yeah, no, I just remembered. I just wrote down the tagline. When was
the laugh at that part? No. Yeah, I thought it fit in with the whole, like, the death and sex and then, you know, the dating thing and then spread it, indulge.
Okay. That's what happened at the apartment. Then we go with Rebecca to the office where her assistant tells her that she is getting promoted to partner, which if you are a lawyer, that is definitely like what you want. That's the goal, is to get promoted to partner.
Are you sure that wasn't her assistant? It could have been a coworker.
According to the credits, it was her assistant.
So you were looking into this kind of stuff and planning it.
Yes, I did.
You'll notice that I don't do research for these things, other than watching the show and taking some notes. And she knows lots of things.
The things that she says when she finds out that she's getting promoted are, like, this is objectively fantastic and on paper fantastic. Like, she's convincing herself that it's a good thing and that it's what she wants, is the thing that I noticed. And then she sees the butter ad again. She sees the butter ad again, and...
Is that in the office, or is that when she runs out, like...
No, that's...
In a breakdown.
That's what seemed to me to cause her to run out of the office and run away, was seeing the butter ad and running outside and having her panic attack. But yeah. Outside.
I noticed outside she's against the wall, and she drops some stuff. And I was thinking, there's no way she can pick that up in heels. That's gotta be really difficult. And her hands can't even reach the ground.
Yeah. I did notice that she's in the middle of a full-blown panic attack, which anyone who's ever had one can tell you that they are very scary. I felt like that was a pretty realistic portrayal of an anxiety attack. Did you notice her prayer? Dear God, I don't pray to you because I believe in science. And then she's not sure if it's amen or amen, and I am also not sure if it's supposed to be amen or amen.
I've always said A in the past.
See, I've always said A too, but I've heard other people say amen, and I just have this memory, like, when I was little, like, laughing to my mom that somebody said amen instead of amen, and she's like, some people say amen, it's fine.
I know the song. I don't know if your church had songs when you were growing up, but they go ah in the song.
Huh. So, yeah.
I told myself I would not sing on this podcast for no reason ever, so I will not repeat it, but think back to church and give a song of amen in the end, and I think, ah, even though I always say
interesting. So we still don't have an answer.
Interesting, meaning not interesting.
We still don't know if it's amen or amen. But then, you know, she asks for a sign. She sees the butter ad again.
Did she ask for the sign and then sell the butter?
She asked for a sign. Yeah. And then saw the butter ad again. And then an arrow points down, and there is Josh Chan in a sunbeam. Choir sing.
Yeah, I guess I can see why she goes a little nuts here then. At some point, you just have to accept that you have to be doing something.
And a literal arrow pointed to Josh Chan in a sunbeam. I'm just saying. So she runs up to Josh, and he says stuff like, I always hoped that I'd run into you again, if I'd known you'd grow up to be so successful and hot, let a good one get away. And then he says that he's moving back home, and she asks where he's from, where he's originally from, and he says West Covina, and then he gives the zip code! The zip code.
I don't think people in Minnesota do that. Is that a California thing?
I don't know. Like, because Beverly Hills 90210 was a show.
Head.
Is California listeners, write into us and let us know if that's a thing. Or does Josh secretly want her to track him down?
Oh, you think so? I thought his, like, comments were just being nice, I guess.
I felt like he was like, yeah, I'm interested.
Really?
Yeah, that's...
I thought he was, like, just, I don't know, like, leading, not leading her on, but just, I don't know, being nice, because he'd figure, all right, I see her this 5 seconds, might as well, she was into me, we were at a relationship, I'll just give her a compliment, you know, move on, never see her again.
Well, and then he gives her a call, gives her his business card. Josh Chan okay. has a business card, by the way.
Do we know what his business is at this point in the show?
We do not, but he has a business card, which...
But he's moving back, we find out, for his girlfriend, right?
Later in the show, we find that out.
Yeah.
Which he does not mention to her.
Yeah.
He does not tell her he has a girlfriend and that he's moving back for her. Just says, here's my card if you're ever in California, look me up. And then he walks away, again, in a sunbeam.
Wasn't he, didn't he say, I took this note, now I don't know if I know Rebecca or Josh, but he's moving home to be happy? Is that what he says? Like, it's too busy here and I want to skateboard or something.
He says everyone back home is happy. And that, like, Rebecca really latches on to that.
Yeah.
Like, I'd have to rewatch the episode, but I think he says everyone back home is happy. She says happy. And, like, here's the choir again. But yeah. So then, after Josh walks away in a sunbeam, and does not mention that he is moving back home for his girlfriend, we're back in the office, in the conference room with the partners. We find out that Rebecca has never taken a sick day, has taken no days off. Her whole life is work right now. And they offer her a promotion. She turns down the promotion.
I gotta say at this point, if we're gonna talk about feminist stuff, I mean, she's getting rewarded for her hard work, even though it's all-consuming life, all, you know, kind of hard work, but...
Oh, yeah, no, she's getting rewarded for her work. She's dedicated her life to the job. But she's not happy before this. She, like you said, you pointed out in her apartment, it's littered with pill bottles and wine bottles. And I also noticed in her apartment, she has no decoration at all. Like, her bed is a box spring and a mattress on the floor. There's no art on the walls, there's no photographs, nothing. She, like, her entire life is this job. And she turns it down when she gets the promotion.
That's stupid.
And when
I say this, that's like pro athlete level money she was in. I know we don't know this at this point, how much money she was offered, but that's like starting player, not starting player, but like entry level NFL wage here.
I'm going to take your word for that.
Almost, anyways.
Yeah, that's...
My point is, if she's already devoted her life to it, take your $400,000.
It was $545,000.
$545,000, yeah. She could do that for 3 years and retire. 4 years. Maybe five. Because if you're going to make that much money, you're going to spend it too. But it's just a lot of money.
Yeah, that is a lot of money. The partners want to know where she's going. And what does she say, Mike? What does she say? Where's she going?
Place where dreams live. It was a little... Yeah, she kind of loses her head there a little bit.
Yeah.
Completely loses it at that point. Yeah, a place where dreams live.
It's where dreams live. And then she twirls out the door.
We have our first musical number of the night.
Twirls out the door, throws away a very expensive looking jacket. That jacket, that was not something she just found at Target. That was an expensive designer jacket.
I did not notice.
It was.
She always is wearing very nice clothes, isn't she?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the clothes on this show. Just in case anybody's wondering, Andy's going to talk about clothes.
I'll just say they look nice.
Also, her skirt magically got a slit in it when the musical number started.
Oh, like it just appeared?
Like it just appeared. It was not there, and it was.
Magic.
It was magic.
Yeah, I wrote down for the musical number, really nice dress.
Yes.
With the slit, apparently. That part I did not make my notes.
Well, in... in New York, it's the same silhouette as her dress that she was wearing in the office. It just has a slit in it.
What do you mean by silhouette?
It's the same shape. So, oh, before we get to California, I want to say she says she's hopelessly, desperately in love with Wes Covina.
You just heard him.
Even though...
Earlier in that day.
That she just heard him earlier in that day, and the natural rhyming scheme there would have been to say Josh.
Yes. I also noticed that her head blocks out letters spelling Josh behind her while she's talking about why she's moving.
Yes. Then we get on the plane, we fly to LAX, drive from LAX to West Covina, and then her dress changes again. It's the same top, but it has a full skirt now with rhinestones on it, and she's wearing sparkly shoes. Sparkly shoes. That's very important.
You got the details nailed for us here.
You're welcome. You're welcome, everybody wanted to know, and now they do know. And she was killing that look.
Yeah, she looked good for sure. And also the disparity between her appearance and also everything happening around her was a little funny. This kind of junky suburban town, and she's just all very excited about it.
Very excited. Her hair is done. Looks gorgeous. Oh, another thing I noticed, again, when she's sort of explaining, like, look, I didn't move here because of Josh. I heard about Wes Covina from Josh, but I didn't move here because of him. Like, those things are different.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
and she's like, yeah. I am not having a nervous West Covina. Sorry.
You broke our singing rule.
I'm sorry.
It's hard not to sing that one.
It is hard not to sing West Covina, though. It's a very singable song.
Yeah, but she is clearly having the nervous breakdown.
It's a nervous West Covina, Mike. It's a nervous West Covina.
Same thing.
So after the musical number...
Do you think she really went to the strip club? I'm hoping she did.
Maybe looking for Josh.
Yeah, she probably was scouring over the town looking for Josh, and who knows?
Who knows? So, we finish our first musical number. Oh, did I tell you it was a musical before we started watching the show, or
no,
did you...
That one surprised me.
That one surprised you. You were like, ah, this is happening. This is a thing that happens on this show.
We're talking about clothes, they're singing, and we're going to talk about feminism.
All news to you.
It's okay.
I am very good at giving people all the information they need to know about things.
To be fair, Angie has always given great advice for shows to watch over the years, so I'll trust her. But I also now don't realize, did you choose this because it is a good show and you love it, or is it just interesting to talk about? What was the motivation here?
I love this show.
Okay.
I love this show. I think it's a great show. I think it's a well-written show. Yeah. Like I said, I'm a fan. I think you'll enjoy it too. I know I joked at the beginning of the show about you being a white man. but you are, I would call you a woke white man.
A what?
A woke white man.
A woke. Okay. I've heard that before.
So yeah, you're one of the good ones, Mike. It's fine.
No, thanks. I probably still say stupid things, but
that's okay.
I will feel immediately bad about it afterwards.
All right. As long as you listen when we point out that something you said was stupid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it happens, for
yeah.
Sure.
And just for our listeners, we are both, like, knowledgeable about social justice stuff, but we are still two stupid white people, so if we say something mm-hmm. stupid, please feel free to contact us and tell us that we're stupid so that we don't continue to be stupid. Thank you.
We can take criticism.
Yeah, we can take criticism. We're not gonna, like, sick a mob on you or anything. We'll probably apologize on air and correct ourselves and thank
Amazing.
You for letting
feel,
us know.
Feel bad about it.
And feel really bad about it.
But how else will we know? We're stupid white people.
We are stupid white people. Anyways, so yeah, we finish our first musical number. We get
she's,
into...
She's back in her apartment now, or...
Her new California condo.
Say back. Maybe it's her first time there for all we know. And she's disposing of her meds.
Yep.
Great idea.
Great idea. Did you notice how many bottles of meds she threw away?
There was lots of them.
There were seven. There were seven. I counted.
Did you?
And then I counted.
Could you tell what they were?
I could not tell what they were. No, I did not read the label, but there were seven bottles. And yeah, I counted. And then I counted again just to make sure that I hadn't miscounted after that. There are seven bottles. And she hangs up on her mom. Her mom calls.
Yes.
Admittedly, not being the most helpful or supportive.
Here we know that she's lost it, you know, because she thinks that West Covina's going to just make her happy. She doesn't need meds. That's, I think, a sign that she's really, really lost it.
Yeah. Don't, if you're on meds, don't. Seven different meds is a lot of meds to be on. You might want to talk to a different doctor, but you should talk to a doctor before you go off your meds. Do not go off your meds.
What if you're in a California town for the first time?
You still don't go off your meds. Still don't do that. It's bad. It's okay if you need meds to feel like a person. That's okay.
Then she's on the couch and decides to text Josh right away, first day in West Covina, because that's not why she's there. Immediately needs to text him.
Yeah. And then the text she sends is painfully awkward. It's so painful. I just, my heart goes out to her as she's sending this text. And then she
really forced.
She painfully, like, so forced, trying not to sound forced. Just breaks my heart. And then she falls asleep.
She's trying to be casual on that one.
Yeah. Be emoticon. And then she falls asleep on the couch waiting for a reply. She doesn't even go to bed.
That's something that you do when you're not there for that person?
Yeah, that's something that you do when, you're not there for that person. Then, wakes up, still no text from Josh, next day, goes to her new job at White Feather & Associates.
The full 1/8.
Daryl is very proud of her new boss. Daryl is very proud of his 1/8 Chippewa heritage. And this is a part where us being two stupid white people might be really obvious, because Daryl obviously passes for white. And and what's the feeling on people who pass for white but being like super proud of their heritage?
Very minute.
Yeah, they're 1/8. Yeah, so what's, like I said, we're stupid white people. I don't know if it's problematic, but it makes me feel a little icky. Like, does that make sense? Like, it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. I laugh, because, you know, people, you hear that so much, too, especially the Native American, and so everyone wants to claim that, it feels like. But...
yeah, And I haven't seen him use it as an excuse to be racist yet. I feel like sometimes people use it that way, like, oh, the Washington football team isn't racist because I'm 1/17 Cherokee and it doesn't bother me, so yeah, so there. You're just being too sensitive. So I haven't seen him use it that way, and if he were using it that way, it would make me really uncomfortable, but like the way he's using it, I don't know.
He seems generally proud of that, at least.
Yeah, he does seem like he's just proud of it. So, if you have opinions on that, especially if you are Native American, please write in and let us know. Because, like I said, we are stupid white people.
My gut's telling me it's insulting, but I can't quite identify here why.
Yeah, it's just...
but I definitely get feeling,
for
sure.
Just, like I said, it makes me feel icky. Yeah, Daryl has also passed out copies of Rebecca's resume. She is way overqualified to be working at some little law firm in West Covina, California.
Yeah, it seems that's a little inappropriate.
Yeah. It's inappropriate, but like, yeah. I feel like our first meeting with Daryl kind of gives me the impression that Daryl has boundary issues. Like, he does not understand, like, when he's gone too far. We meet Paula for the first time. And Paula is very skeptical about Rebecca. She is not buying her story at all. And Paula is the head paralegal. And Rebecca, when she's introduced, thinks that Paula is supposed to be her assistant. Paralegals, no. You do not. I'm going to school to be a paralegal.
And you're not an assistant?
I am not. No, not to be an assistant. Yeah.
I have to admit, my ignorance, I thought that that's what they were.
Nope. Paralegals will help with research, they'll help prepare documents, they'll interview clients, they do a lot of stuff that, like, your secretary is not qualified to do. So
in a law firm, a lawyer would have an assistant and there'd be paralegals in there, yes. And they're not one of the same.
They are not the same, and it's really insulting to call a paralegal an assistant.
So this explains a little bit of why she immediately does not like
Rebecca. So she is not happy. And Rebecca has fancy shoes. She has Louboutins.
Never heard of that before.
They are fancy shoes. They are very expensive.
When you make $545,000 a year, you can buy nice shoes.
Yeah. Yes. they are so rare in West Covina that Paula just assumes that they are very nice knockoffs. But yeah, Paula also does not like that Rebecca has real Louboutins. And yeah, then we go into Daryl's office.
And here Daryl decides he's gonna, you know, get really inappropriate. mentioning your boundary issues, he starts talking about his personal life and his upcoming divorce here, and begins crying and making inappropriate Jew comments to her.
Really inappropriate comments from Daryl here.
Mentioning your first day, you're gonna cry to your new hire.
Yeah, Daryl is not.
Feel bad for Rebecca.
Yeah, he says some of the specific things that he says are like that his wife's lawyer is one of those real smart Jewish guys, and when Rebecca points out that she herself is Jewish, he's like, oh, I didn't know, you have a tiny nose. That's, no, nope, nope, nope. One thing I wanted to point out, when he breaks down crying and starts saying, I can't lose her, and Rebecca automatically assumes he's talking about his wife, she says, it's not healthy to fixate on one person. I don't know if you caught that, but I caught that, and I thought it was really... Sometimes we can see things in other people that we can't see in ourselves.
Sure.
And Daryl asks Rebecca... It's really weird that Daryl asks Rebecca to represent him in his divorce, because... his law firm specializes in property law, not family law. So he should know that Rebecca's specialty is property law, not family law. And again, he says here, her Jew went to CSU Long Beach, my Jew Harvard and Yale. Don't ever, ever, ever call somebody your whatever their ethnicity is. Don't do it.
I think Trump did that.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. He did do that.
He's president, so.
Well, you know, maybe we should all hold ourselves to a higher standard than Orange Voldemort.
I forget, are we getting political on the show or not?
Should
we cut that part out, maybe?
Apparently we just did.
We talked before we started recording that we're going to try to not get political, but
You know,
I failed.
That's okay. That's okay. Hey, I'm the one who called him Orange Voldemort. Angie doesn't like saying the president's name. Or acknowledging that he's president. We're going to cut all this out. It's going to be fine.
Probably for the best.
So anyways, Rebecca, you know, turns down Daryl's request to represent her. And says, you know, I'll always be there for you. And then she gets a notification that Josh Chan is at home base.
Immediately runs out on her bus.
Runs out the door.
Because remember, she was there for the job offer she got.
Yep.
Not to stalk Josh.
Yeah. But as she walks out the door, she says, let's circle back to the Jew thing, because that's a conversation we need to have.
Addressing it. She's strong of her.
So, yeah, that's... Yeah, that is actually pretty strong, because that's your first day on the job, a new environment. If you are the only person of your ethnicity at your job, at your place of employment, it can be hard to call people out. I suppose even if there are other people of your same ethnicity, it can still be hard to call people out.
I think when your boss is crying, it maybe makes you feel a little more empowered than you would otherwise.
I suppose Daryl crying.
He didn't feel very intimidated at that moment.
Yeah, yeah. And then, but after Rebecca leaves, he does say, why did I say that?
and see, feels the immediate regret thing I was talking about earlier.
And
say
feels
stupid, and you're like, oh, that was stupid.
So I do appreciate that Daryl did feel bad about it. And I like to imagine that off screen they did have a conversation and Daryl apologized without being defensive. Is what I like to imagine in my head.
Yeah, I don't know his character well enough to have an opinion on that. Yeah, we'll see. But this might be a recurring thing of his racial insensitivity.
Maybe.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, save that for Prediction Corner. Yeah, then we get to home base. Rebecca goes to home base, which is a little league park and slash bar.
Oh, interesting.
Which is an interesting combination.
I haven't seen that.
Have not seen that. That is not a thing that's in Minnesota. So yeah, Rebecca is super out of place. Greg, the bartender, Greg, we learn his name is Greg, tries to point Rebecca to the wine bar, which we learn from Daryl in the last scene is part of a liquor store.
Rarely seen in Minnesota.
Rarely seen in Minnesota, but apparently occasionally seen in Minnesota.
And here, she starts obsessing over Josh again to the bartender, and we discover that the bartender actually knows Josh and had just seen him there, which I guess is not a surprise to Rebecca because she's stalking him and knows that he's here. He is here.
Yeah. She was super duper subtle about looking for Josh, I noticed.
Sleuth, that one.
Yeah, super subtle. Could be a spy. So, like I said, she's super-duper subtle here, but, like, Greg kind of uses his knowledge about Josh to get Rebecca to go on a date with him.
Yeah, that surprised me. I mean, he clearly could tell that she was all about Josh, but it didn't deter him or dissuade him from asking her out. That was a little interesting to me. I don't know what his motivation is here. But, yeah, he invites her to a party.
Yeah.
Because Josh is going to be there.
Yeah, and in fact, he points out that Josh is going to be there to get her to say yes. What he said here is, well, you know, you're pretty and you're smart and you're ignoring me, so you're obviously my type. To which Rebecca replies, huh?
Exactly.
And he says, perfect. Yeah, then we go next day, tomorrow, to the white...
Is this next day? I thought she went back to work after that.
She's wearing a different outfit.
Did not notice.
Angie's going to talk about clothes. She's wearing a different outfit, a cute outfit. She looks adorable.
Always, right?
Always. Rebecca is nothing if not stylish. She's a lot of things besides stylish. Not very feminist of me to say that. She's a lot of things. She's a very nuanced person. But yeah, so next day, Whitefeather and Associates break room. Rebecca is super duper happy. Paula is... just sort of sneaks up behind her while she's getting her happy dance on. They talk about some legal stuff. Paula points out that, you know, Rebecca's in a really, really good mood. And Rebecca says, yeah, I am. Have you ever just had a really great day? And Paula says, no. No, I am not. Which Rebecca says is really sad and is really sad.
And I sort of get the feeling at this point, Paula doesn't have a lot going on. So that's why she's all obsessing about Rebecca.
But yeah, Paula is not buying... She says, I'm not buying any of this. That's a direct quote said exactly that way.
Neither is the audience, by the way.
But Rebecca is, you know, still trying to play dumb. Like, no, I don't know anybody here. I just got a really great offer from Daryl, who is such a charmer. And Paul's like, okay, fine, don't tell me. I'm going to figure it out, and yay, now I have a fun game. This is going to be a fun thing for me to do. And then, Mike, what time is it? What time is it?
Time to get ready?
It's the sexy getting ready song!
Second musical number of the night. And this one is much, well, the first one's pretty entertaining too, but this one is special, I'd say.
This one has a special place in my heart. I have done, with the exception of the waxing, I have done every single thing. That Rebecca does, and the
weird,
backup
like,
dancer.
And the backup dancer?
Yeah, and the backup dancers, yes. I've done all of those things. All of them.
So you put some weird, like, thing under your dress that's not even a dress, it just looks really ugly, and it squishes you or something?
Yeah, those are Spanx. That's so we look smooth, Mike.
Did not know that was a thing.
Yep. Any other questions about anything you saw?
Several. So I gotta notice the eyeball thing is really scary. That's a really intimidating mechanism.
Oh, the eyelash curler?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is vital. You need that.
Yeah, things like touching your eyeball is really kind of gross. And that cages and traps your eyeball in there.
That is a necessary thing I do if I'm gonna get all dolled up. Gotta do the eyelash curler. Just makes you look more awake.
So it just makes your eyeballs curled?
Your eyeballs, Mike, your eyeballs. Eyelashes.
Yeah, same. That's what I meant. Obviously.
I don't know.
Just pulls your eyeballs off your socket a little bit. Really big eyeball look.
No, it curls up your eyelashes so your eyes look wider. And your eyelashes look longer and prettier.
I would never think to do that.
Yep, no, you gotta do it. Gotta do it if you're gonna.
Yeah, so then I noticed that, like, later in there, there's the aftermath shot where she's standing on the toilet. And there's, like, just the mess there. And I saw, like, the hair, which I thought, at first glance, was, like, her eyelashes that she pulled out of her face.
No.
So I made a connection back to the previous blood scene. Just disgusting.
Well, you know, if you're...
We have butt hair on a little piece of paper hanging out in the toilet. On the toilet. On the sink.
Yep.
On display. Now, you said you did everything...
Except the waxing.
Except for that. Yep. So that's good. But it was the most terrifying. Do you have guys just showing up, like rappers showing up in your bathroom to talk about it?
No, but that would make getting ready a lot more interesting. And I'd probably yell at him for getting in my way. Usually not
scary.
Very happy.
She didn't seem so upset about it.
No. She made a fun little song out of it. Maybe I should try that. Maybe I should get a rapper to come in and be horrified by what I'm doing and then leave just shaken by everything
I
do
just,
to get ready.
The butt hair on a thing, that would shake anyone. That is scary.
But yeah, she also, you know, burnt herself with a curling iron. I've done that.
Right. Tweezed out your hair on your face.
Oh, yeah. No, you've got to tweeze. Got to tweeze. Yes, every single thing that was just, that's, I don't know if you've ever watched Nancy Get Ready.
Not close.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they go to the guy and he's just taking a nap. But,
yep.
You know, guys do some stuff too. I also comb my hair and put deodorant on.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. No, girls usually skip those steps.
And if we're going to be honest, I have done the plucking thing too. Because you don't need hair in weird places. So.
That's good
but
to know.
It probably takes 20 minutes. And what should take like all day doing this, it seems like. But.
Oh, yeah, no. Depending on the occasion and who's going to be there, I need an hour to half a day to get ready.
Okay. That's too much.
Yeah, I spent 3 hours for my wedding. I spent 3 hours getting ready.
How about for podcasting?
For podcasting? I did about...
Comb your hair and put deodorant on.
I did comb my hair and put deodorant on. You're welcome. I also curled my eyelashes and put on mascara in case we decided to take any pictures.
We did.
We did take pictures. Check it out on Snapchat. So, yeah, that was I just wrote down exclamation points for the Sexy Getting Ready song because I love it so much.
Yeah, I just wrote, did she wax her asshole? ?
Yes. Yes, she did. Because here's the thing, guys. Girls have hairy butts, too. We have butt hair, too.
I don't believe it.
Well, we do. Every single one of us, if you're with a girl who doesn't have hair in her butt crack, she waxed it. So, now you know. Sorry, Mom.
No, I was going to listen to this, right?
Well, probably my mom.
All right, so now we're at the party.
Yep,
after the very catchy song.
At the party after the catchy song, and Rebecca says she just woke up from a nap! Which I have made a point not to do anymore. We, a lot of women are sort of socialized to act like the act of appearing in public as a human female is not a lot of work.
Maybe she's born with it.
But, yeah, she says, I just woke up from a nap. I have made a point now to be like, it took all day. You look nice. It took all day. But yeah, we're at the party, and Rebecca is an amazing listener. She's super good at listening to Greg.
Yeah. Greg doesn't exist, I don't think.
Yeah, so,
kind of uses him to, like, move about the party and try to locate Josh.
Yeah, in fact, when Greg just straight out asks her if she's into Josh, and she says no. He lists the things, like positive qualities about Josh. You know, he's attractive, and he's really well-built, and one of the things he says is he knows magic.
Really? I didn't catch that.
Yeah, it's, first of all, A, Josh knows magic, and B, Greg thinks that's a positive selling point for Josh.
Magic is fun, isn't it? Now, here's a question for you. Have you ever been at a bar and there's someone that wants to do magic with you?
Yeah.
I feel like this happens a lot. And I was wondering, is that, like, fun for you, or is that...
Well, it's happened once.
Only once?
Yeah. Okay. And it was with you. I think it's just a thing that happens to you.
It happens to me. People think I like magic. I don't know. I thought it was weird. I don't know. I don't... There's a lot of expectation when someone's trying to do your magic. Like, you gotta be really responsive. Like, oh, yeah, that's so cool. When really, I don't think it's that cool.
Also, the time that I was with you and it happened, like, the guys were immediately like, you should buy us a drink. And we were like, no. We're not doing that.
Yeah, did we just blow them off, tell them to get out of here? What are we doing?
I feel like...
There was two guys, right?
There were two guys, and we were just like, no, we're not. We're not buying you a drink. By the way, this is a podcast where we talk about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Not at the bar.
Not
a decade ago.
Not our experiences 10 years ago with up-close magic.
Yeah, we are rookies, of course. The podcasting world. Cut.
No, that's staying in. I'm leaving it.
Yeah, whatever. All right. So anyways, yeah, magic, this great positive quality. It's, you know, at the very least, it's got to be an icebreaker. You got something, you're walking up to somebody, you got something to say, something to do, other than just look like an idiot, which maybe you do look like an idiot still, but at least you're talking.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh.
But also, you're doing a magic trick, which is something you do for children. Yeah, so they make out in every single room of the house. And it's got to be a really positive experience for Greg as Rebecca is trying to look around while making out. That has to be.
Did say like getting ignored.
Yeah, he did say that. He did say that. So they decide to move to a bedroom.
But she also looks like she's looking for Josh in the bedroom, too.
Yes, like Greg even says, is it okay that Josh isn't in here? And she's like, yeah, of course. But, like, she's clearly disappointed that Josh isn't randomly in this person's bedroom. Do you ever, when you're at a party, do you ever just go hang out in the host's bedroom?
No, that'd be weird.
That'd be weird. That'd be a weird thing to do. Also, who goes and makes out in somebody else's room at a party?
Yeah, I hope that's never happened in my house.
Yeah, that's weird. Don't do that if you're ever at somebody else's house. Don't.
My house, for sure.
Yeah, if you're at Mike's house, definitely don't do it. Yeah, but so they sit down on the bed, and Greg gets a text, and, oh, Josh isn't coming to the party.
Oh, man.
Oh, his girlfriend is making him go to her sister's quinceañera.
Waxed her butthole for nothing.
Waxed her butthole for nothing. But yeah, so Josh, this is where we find out that Josh has a girlfriend. Not from Josh telling Rebecca, by the way. From Greg telling Rebecca.
Yeah, and then I guess Rebecca decides that she's going to try to, you know, try to get over it by going down on Greg.
Yeah, I wrote down.
While crying.
I wrote down sexy makeout interrogation. To try to get details about Josh's girlfriend out of Greg. And yeah, she starts crying when she finds out that Josh moved back here for his girlfriend.
It sets in how unrealistic this whole thing was from the beginning.
Yeah. Greg does, to his credit, stop her when she starts crying and says, you know, I'll take you home. You shouldn't be here.
It'd be incredibly awkward for him, this whole thing. The whole party, really, but that moment in particular.
You know, there are a lot of scumbag guys out there who will just take what they just take what they can get. I'm not saying there are a lot. Like, I shouldn't say there are a lot of them. There are a lot of them.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. But yeah, he ends it. Decides to take her home.
Yeah.
And they're walking back through the yard, and Paula shows up.
Paula's here! And she's...
I don't know, we're at the party.
And she's a little into Greg. I don't know if you noticed that, but she's like...
Yeah, pretty clear, yeah. This is the obsession with Rebecca again. So Rebecca's with this guy, so clearly she should be into him, I think.
Is that what you think? That's interesting.
I don't know, it just seems to be a theme. She's really into Rebecca. So.
Alright. Well, yeah, so Paula knows Rebecca drags Paula away from everybody so that they can talk without people overhearing. And, Paula knows all about Josh. Rebecca, of course, denies it. When they're talking about, before Paula spills, the Josh beans, she's like, you think you're so much better than me. And she brings up Harvard and Yale and Rebecca's shoes. Because she is really bothered by those real Louboutins. But yeah, so she tells Rebecca she knows all about Josh, that, she thinks Rebecca's obsessed with Josh, and that she moved to West Covina for Josh.
That's crazy talk.
That's crazy. But yeah, so Rebecca denies it and says, no, here's what happened. And she says she ran into Josh, and this is a quote, he made me feel warm inside, like glitter was exploding inside of me. Which, at that point, she realizes that, yep. I moved here because of Josh, and she starts breaking down, and she's like, oh my god, I'm crazy. I am crazy. And at this point, Paula starts to feel bad. She says that she was just giving Rebecca a hard time because Rebecca lied to her, but I think it's because she was giving her a hard time because Rebecca thought she was her assistant and did not treat her with the respect she felt she was due. And again, if you're a paralegal and somebody is treats you like you're their assistant, that is very disrespectful. And talking to people who have worked as paralegals for a while, there are some lawyers who do not treat their paralegals with as much respect as they do. So I can see why this would wear on Paula.
Immediately doesn't like her.
Yeah.
But now that Rebecca has broken down and, you know, maybe kind of like when the 1/8 guy.
Daryl. It's okay.
Kind of like when Daryl.
You've seen one episode of this show. Why don't you know all the character names, Mike?
Yeah, so Daryl, kind of like when Daryl's crying, he becomes less intimidating now. Maybe Rebecca's a little less intimidating now that it's clear that she's crazy and is crying. Is she crying here or is she just going nuts?
No, she's breaking down. She's breaking down and she's human here.
Yeah, so now Paula doesn't see her as this, figure that she's supposed to respect with the colleges and the shoes and the, all the stuff that makes her so great. Now she's,
Now she's a person. Yeah. And Paula says, when Rebecca is like, I'm stupid, and I'm everything my mother said I was, Paula says, don't you talk about my friend like that ever again.
Yeah, so immediately friends.
They are friends now, and she tells Rebecca that she's brave, and Paula says she wishes she had been as brave as Rebecca when she was her age.
Some future episode information?
Maybe.
I don't know how deep the show goes. I've only seen one episode, after all.
You've only seen one episode. And, yeah, and then we go into... Oh, and she tells Rebecca that... Rebecca says it doesn't matter that she moved here for Josh because Josh has a girlfriend. And Paul's like, no, because on his Facebook page, it says he's single. And Rebecca's like, that's what I'm saying! And Paul's like, someday he's going to realize that you're for him, and on that day he's going to text you. And then...
She's a witch.
Then she's a witch, and she gets a text from Josh Chan asking her to dinner.
That's pretty immediate.
Yeah, that's... Dinner isn't
coffee.
I didn't
see that coming, I gotta say. When I was watching the show, I thought that he was just going to be some sort of a plot point, a driver to kind of start the story going of her making this move. So now we got this big town lawyer in a small town kind of show. I thought this was just like to get the story moving, but now there's dinner, so maybe he's more involved than I thought originally.
And like I said, dinner isn't coffee. Dinner isn't drinks. That's dinner is you sit down and like talk to somebody like for a while. Dinner is a date. It's hard to interpret. Like when you and I have gone out to eat together, it is always assumed we're on a date together.
For other people. I was going to say, like, I didn't assume that.
Yeah, no, from the waiter.
Yes, that is always assumed.
Yes.
From others observing us.
They always give us one check, and it's always given to you. And then we have to...
I didn't notice that.
Yep.
Makes sense. Oblivious sometimes.
And then we go into the reprise of West Covina. And they sort of, I don't know if you noticed, but, you know, Paula and Rebecca are singing at the same time. And Rebecca is singing about the journey. And Paula is singing about, like, couples in, like, famous romantic comedies.
She's still obsessing over Rebecca.
She's viewing this as, like, a great love story. But I noticed that the couples she lists, which you might not have noticed because it's two people singing at the same time, and that's not always easy. She mentions Bella and Edward, which is Twilight, Carrie and Big, Sex and the City, Harry and Sally, which I haven't seen Harry and Sally, When Harry Met Sally, since I was, like, probably 8. And then Julia Roberts and Richard Gere, because they both come together on, because Rebecca says, kick it into high gear at the same time. Paula says, Richard Gere. So they say gear at the same time.
Didn't catch any of this one.
Well, Angie's a nerd. But I noticed that I'm not sure about Harry and Sally because, again, I haven't seen it since I was 8.
So did you do background research on these couples to see if
No, I'm familiar with those couples, and except for Harry and Sally, but all of them are kind of not healthy relationships.
Oh, and Harry and Sally was not healthy.
It wasn't?
No.
Okay, well, there you go. They're all bad. they're not what you want to... They're not what you'd want in a real relationship. Definitely not Bella and Edward. Definitely not Carrie and Big. Not from what I've seen of Sex and the City. Full disclosure, haven't watched that much Sex and the City.
Never seen it myself.
But Julia Roberts and Richard Gere, that's not a healthy relationship in Pretty Woman. That is, nope. You do not want that. But yeah, that was just a thing that I noticed. And then at the end of the song, Paula asks if Rebecca wants to go drive past Josh's house.
I'm from high school.
Paula is really good at finding people. She's really good at it. She is. Paula's very good at her job. End of the show. End credit scene. The rapper, Nipsey Hussle, calls all of the girls from his videos, from his past videos, and apologizes. He is forever changed by, the sexy getting ready song, and will no longer objectify women. So, Mike, what did you think of the episode?
So far, liked it.
Yeah?
Said I always trust your opinion, so I assume this will not just be a discussion, but a fan club eventually. Can't call it that yet, because I, gotta watch a little more.
Alright, we're gonna do a few little segments here. We might cut these later, or we might add more, depending on how the show evolves. So the first one is, oh, honey, where, we just sort of talk about the character that
this means to me.
Where we talk about the character that we related to the most, like we've been in that situation before. For me, in this episode, and this is just for this episode, not for... We'll change it every episode.
You don't have to always like the same character.
You won't have to always like the same character. And it doesn't even have to necessarily be like the character you really like this episode. Just the character that, I recognize that. I've done that before. For me, it's Rebecca. I have been like this little weird crush obsessed. You're trying not to like somebody too much because that makes you crazy. But we also teach little girls that they're supposed to seek love, but they're also crazy if they seek love.
Too much, yeah.
It's too much. So you're all constantly trying to walk this line that's impossible to walk. And yes, I have definitely felt, I've never done anything as extreme as Rebecca, but I have felt like Rebecca.
I will go with Paula. I know I've been talking Paula down quite a bit in this episode, but one thing that I've noticed, or I don't remember where I heard this originally, but one thing when someone kind of rubs you wrong is probably because they remind you of yourself in some way. And I'd like to think everyone has kind of been in a situation where you get a little too involved in someone else's story. Like, you know, anytime there's a single person, you always want to know how their dates go. I mean, people really enjoy that stuff. And I think Paul's a little bit like most people in that way, where anyways, like most people when you get a little too involved in people's story. Paul.
Cool. All right, and next we're going to do I Just Can't With You Right Now. I Just Can't With You Right Now. And it's just the person who is just, God damn it, I can't with you right now.
I also can't with Paula, because she was so annoying. Just harassing Rebecca, dang.
For me, it was Daryl in this episode, because, like I said, I know Daryl's going through a tough time. I know that, you know, immediately after the Jew thing, I'm doing air quotes, which you can't see, and I'm remembering right now, does not translate to audio mediums. I appreciate that he felt bad, but I just need to be mad at him for one episode. So, yeah, for me, it's Daryl. He needs to sit in the corner. For also not understanding boundaries. For being a little anti-Semitic and also not understanding what boundaries are.
He needs to take a break,
and I just can't with him right now. All right.
Must be a boss thing. He just feels like he needs to share with everyone, or everyone needs to care about his stuff.
Could be that. All right. Mike, guess what time it is now?
What time is it?
It's time for Mike's Prediction Corner!
Mike's predictions. All right, well, my first prediction, I sort of already mentioned a little bit, is about Josh and him not being that much into the show, but now maybe he is a big part of the show. I guess we'll see. I'm sort of thinking, my initial thing was he's just going to be a plot point to get us started, but we're going to move on from Josh. That's my prediction. I have an episode theme I think will be touched on in season one. I think, based on mostly from the Getting Ready song, and if you're going to go with Waxing Your Butthole, I think there's going to be a period sex episode.
That is interesting theory you have.
That is my prediction for season one. I think there's kind of like a tagline in this one, which is Weird Right. I think that sticks the whole season. I think they keep going back to Weird Right.
Okay.
Through season one. I also, this is a my last and final prediction, is this is kind of in the past prediction, if that makes any sense. It doesn't. Let me explain.
It makes sense to
I
me.
Think, I think they picked West Covina because it has the same syllables as California, so they could sing about it. And I don't know if we can do some research, some digging to figure that out, but it just fits too well for that song. But I think that's why they picked it. And I bet Josh isn't even really from.
Ooh, really? That is interesting. That was Mike's prediction corner. There is no Angie's prediction corner because Angie's seen all the episodes, and that would be stupid.
Maybe at the end of season two,
yeah,
you told me that there's two seasons, that you can predict some things for season three, just even things out.
There you go. And then we can all laugh when Angie's wrong.
I'll laugh at what I'm wrong about. Probably all of these things. But I find it really hard to make a prediction about a show after one episode because you don't really get a feel for what they're trying to do with the show yet. I know Angie likes it, so it must get interesting. Like, I mean, it wasn't really interesting, but I mean, it must get deeper because right now there's a little bit of a setup where, you know, crazy girl follows her boyfriend to shitty town. But it's got to be more than that, or Angie probably wouldn't recommend it so strongly. So I'm curious to see how that goes. And also the crazy ex-girlfriend is kind of like a anti-feminist kind of tag people open on women. So the fact that that's what the show's about so far, it kind of makes me wonder how this all kicks out and how they explore that.
All right. We're going to talk about the title of the show a little bit more in the next episode. There's a little bit of commentary on it in the next episode. I don't want to get too into it, but let's really talk about it the next episode. So put a pin in that. It's a good thought. But yeah, that's the show. We did it, Mike. We did it. We're podcasters now. So
you didn't try to edit this disaster yet, though.
That's true. We still have to edit.
Not quite a podcaster yet.
We're almost podcasters. I'm cutting this part out. All right. That's the show.
Cutting a lot of.
That's the show. So, yeah, if you like what you heard so far, we promise we'll get better. Rate us, review us, subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. You can find us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at YouRuinEveryPod. You can email us at YouRuinEverythingPod@gmail.com. Please send us your feedback. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening, and have a wonderful day.
See you next time.
See you next time.